Walmart PPC and listing optimization strategies to increase sales on the Walmart marketplace. This and so much more on today's episode.
How cool is that? Pretty cool, I think. What was your gross sales yesterday, last week, last year? More importantly, what are your profits after all your cost of selling on Amazon? Did you pay any storage charges to Amazon? How much did you spend on PPC? Find out these key metrics and more by using the Helium 10 tool, Profits. For more information, go to h10.me/profits.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Serious Sellers podcast brought to you by Helium 10. My name is Carrie, and I will be your host. And this is our Winning with Walmart Wednesday, where we go over all things Walmart. We tell you the latest and greatest news about Walmart. We answer your questions, and we have an amazing Walmart expert guest. And I'm going to just tell you a little bit about some Helium 10 tools because I haven't really mentioned these a lot lately. I wanted to make sure that everyone's aware that Helium 10 does have a lot of amazing tools that support Walmart. So we have X-Ray. It's going to help you with sales estimates and so much more. We have our Cerebro and Magnet tools that help you find amazing keywords for your listings. We also have our profits tool and our keyword tracking tool. In addition to that, we have Adtomic, which is our pay-per-click advertising management software. So that is extremely helpful. We've added dayparting and a lot of other amazing things to Adtomic. So it's definitely the best it's ever been and highly recommend checking that out if you haven't checked it out. All right. So today I want to bring on our guest and I'm really, really excited to have him on today. And his name is Ryan King. And so thanks so much for being on. Ryan is the CEO and co-founder of Blue Rise, which is a Walmart agency. And I've actually known Ryan for a few years. Now we met at the Billion Dollar Seller Summit and we definitely connected on the Walmart stuff. So he's definitely an expert in the field and I'm really excited for him to share all of his knowledge with everyone today. I know he was on last year, but for anyone, Ryan, that doesn't know you, can you go ahead and tell a little bit about yourself to the audience?
Certainly. Yeah. Thanks for having me on here, Carrie. Glad to be on this episode here of the Serious Sellers podcast, specifically talking about Walmart. So yeah, Blue Rise is a full managed service agency focused specifically on Walmart. We've been operating with third party and first party brands since early 2020. And our focus is on everything from content optimization, ad management, catalog management, interfacing with Walmart personnel, all these other elements with regard to ultimately the focus of maximizing Walmart brand brand's performance on Walmart.com.
I want to first start out and just ask you, because you've been in this Walmart game for quite some time, what do you think the main, you know, advantages are for third-party sellers to start selling on Walmart? And do you think, you know, it's a really good opportunity?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great opportunity. I think the advantages have continued to grow over the years. They haven't diminished. One of the reasons we saw the opportunity on Walmart was, you know, as brand owners ourselves, we began and launched and grew brands on Amazon back in the day, starting as early as 2013. And we were looking for ways to, as brand owners, de-risk a bit, diversify revenues. Back during the aggregator boom, part of the factor was how do we increase multiples, all those kind of elements. I think all the principles remain the same as to why those would be advantages. If you're truly building a brand, then you're looking to identify what are the channels that make sense to increase sales, increase profits overall, and to de-risk. So that's one advantage of finding other marketplaces, other channels to sell through. Beyond that, there's just the fact that Walmart is pushing heavy and has been pushing heavy into the online marketplace space. They understand that for them as a business, as a retailer, while they're the number one retailer in the world, e-commerce certainly has been a major growth factor for others, competitors like Amazon and everybody else. And so Walmart understands that they need to compete in the digital shelf. That means they want more sellers. They want broader assortment. They want great products so that more shoppers come and have a great experience. So that has led to Walmart heavily focusing on building out their third-party marketplace over the last several years. I would say a couple other that come to mind. you know, social proof and reviews and ratings have been always on the forefront of e-commerce sellers' minds, of especially in the Amazon space, such large moats. You know, I haven't looked at this example in a while, but earbuds, Bluetooth earbuds. When I looked at it probably 2 years ago, the average review count for Bluetooth earbuds on page one for Amazon was somewhere around 40,000. At the time, the average review count for that keyword, which was a high volume keyword on Walmart, was around 800.
Mm.
And so just the opportunity to mm-hmm. enter the market, you know, if you had wished you had, you know, the buzz for a long time was Walmart is Amazon of 2012 or whatever it may be. Walmart is in its own right a maturing marketplace these days, but the opportunity still exists in that way. I think the other ones, there is a bit of a different shopper base. And so mm-hmm. if you have a broader assortment, your heroes on Amazon or other marketplaces may also translate to be your heroes on Walmart. And you can just get a continued growth of that assortment. However, we also do see, because it is a different shopper, a different marketplace, sometimes some other products that may not be performing as well in your catalog on Amazon might be your top performers on Walmart
yep.
for various reasons. And so it breathes new life into your catalog, potentially. And then finally, if you really want to identify ways of growing the brand and maybe brick and mortar retail is a desire of yours at some point, then there is a credible pathway to getting products into brick and mortar. We work with brands all the time who that is part of their play, whether they've begun with conversations with merchants first and it's a let's test and see and let's get it in, or if they're native e-commerce or D2C first and they're engaging with us in order to optimize and maximize performance, planning on that conversation in the future. We see those dots connect quite consistently to at least get a conversation. So all the above. And then for those who have FOMO, you know, to kind of trigger the FOMO a bit, it's a bit of this is the opportunity to get in now, even if it's maybe a mid to longer term play for some brands. Get in now while the opportunity is there, while there's more access to account managers and others who are aligned incentives with you to get your assortment online on their marketplace.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, those are all really amazing reasons. The next question I have for you is, you know, people are always wanting to know how can I, you know, increase my sales on Walmart. So what are some, you know, strategies you have for listing optimization and just increasing sales on Walmart?
Yeah, you know, I know a lot of these have probably been covered in repeated ways, but it bears repeating again, would be step number one is making sure you're not just if it is a secondary or tertiary marketplace in your mindset and strategy, and you're not paying attention to the unique ways you need to optimize for Walmart, then unless you're kind of you hit the trend at the right time and the search volume at the right time in Walmart with an unoptimized listing, you're not going to see great sales lift. And so step one would be, Know the Walmart marketplace. Understand how the algorithm works. Understand what product listing optimization means. Understand that it needs to be original for Walmart's marketplace and how that impacts sales. And so if I was looking, and we can talk a bit about, I know we've talked about this several times in the past too, some key things to look at. Let's just jump forward and assume you're on the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to grow sales and you're troubleshooting. First step I go to is on the listing itself, or actually first step would be double check search term volumes. And this is a easy segue into talking more about Helium 10's tools, because that's what we use, look at your category. One simple way to do it, you can either start with your own listing or you start with competitor listings. But one way we like to do it as well is you go into Walmart.com, go to the category and sort by bestseller. You'll probably get a lot of 1P brands, meaning in-store brands, those that are popping up at the top of the list. But go ahead and pull up X-Ray if you have Helium 10's X-Ray and scrape the top 10 out of there and then plug those in, analyze them through Cerebro and get that search term volume list and identify where are the search volumes. Are you optimized for those? One thing to call out, if you're in a consumable space or anything that might be more related to grocery, for example, Amazon search volumes, you might have found success with different types of search terms, but there might be high volume search terms on Walmart you haven't even optimized for because Amazon wasn't a grocery first type marketplace or that type of place. So there can be high volume keywords that would not even exist really on the Amazon marketplace that are going to be high drivers on Walmart. So identify, make sure you're looking at the right search terms. Secondly, is just making sure you're indexing and ranking. Before you even think about ranking, are you indexing? And one of the fundamental areas that you've got to look at to make sure you're indexing properly is your category. Are you on the right shelf path? But if you go into growth opportunities and you click on your listing in your kind of table of products that show up there, product type widget will show up and look at that product type and try and identify, does this fit? Product type determines what the backend attributes are on your listing that you need to fill out. And just as a quick aside, you need to fill those out as exhaustively as possible. It's only getting more and more important to do so. While your listing quality score is not as heavily impacted by attributes as it used to be, your visibility and relevance are, and they will only increasingly be so. So fill those all out, even if it's a not applicable, you know, even if it's saying sports team and you're a toothpaste brand, you know, make sure you just say none or not applicable, whatever's there. And then test the product type. We've talked about this in the past and we can talk about it again if you'd like, but testing that, make sure your listing is optimized. So the algorithm on Walmart's giving you quantitative feedback between your content, which is your backend attributes, your title, images, long and short descriptions, and are you at you'll get mostly ranking benefits around 80%, but if your long-term play is really to be best in class and to open up other doors with potential features and other things, 95% or higher is your goal.
Yep.
Offer. So price parity with other marketplaces is key, and speed of delivery. So whether it's using something like a Deliverr, we heavily recommend just using Walmart Fulfillment Services. They continue to get broader distribution. You're instantly credited in the score with utilizing theirs and getting two-day delivery. So use the levers that Walmart's given you on the marketplace. And we can talk further about other ways if someone's listening and saying, I've done all that. I'm at 95%. I don't know what else to optimize. We're using WFS. There are other things to continue to do. And we could talk about whether that's how do you look at imagery in a way that converts? How do you utilize advertising? How do you drive external traffic to listings? What's its impact? We could go a variety of ways. The last thing I'll say, though, is the first question. The last thing I'll say is maybe the first question you should ask yourself is, what's your overall business case? So sometimes we have sellers come to us and they're saying, I don't want to do anything. Amazon's my main channel. I would like to sell in Walmart. What can I do? And there's going to be certain limitations. If you're saying I don't, price is going to be determined by my other marketplace, not by Walmart or something like that. You got to be aware of those and what your how that impacts the levers you can pull on Walmart. Now there's some interesting features coming out, you know, like couponing and different things that can maybe allow for greater flexibility there.
Can you talk a little bit about how to A/B test your product type? Because I know you mentioned that in there, just how to optimize, because I know, you know, certain product types reach more keywords. So how do you just keep track of the keywords that you get impressions for on ads, or like how do you really determine which one has better keyword reach?
You can do, there's various methods. It's whether you're doing advertising, you're just seeing we're not getting onto, you know, your goal when you're running advertising for any keyword. Really, if you're using it for search and grid, which is sponsored product, that's what most people are thinking about when they're leveraging advertising on Walmart. You're competing for page one. It makes sense that we're competing that from a conversion standpoint. Most people aren't going to page two, page three. But literally, you're competing for page one because the top four positions are awarded potentially for the keywords in the categories for sponsored product, and then the next two out of every 10. But you've got, on average, around 40 products on page one of the listing of the search results, SERP results, those same positions are being repeated across every page. So there is no, I didn't get position one, page one, maybe I'll get position one, page two. Position one, page one is repeated across every page. So you've got to compete for those top positions. And in order to do that, keyword relevancy matters. So you'll get the signals. If I'm not showing up, if I'm showing up in position 200 for my ad reports or whatever it may be, or for if you're using Helium 10 again and keyword ranking tracking, and maybe turn on boost for those keywords, whatever it may be, and track on a real-time basis best you can, how you're performing on those keywords. Obviously make sure it's in your title. Title has, the highest, ranking, has historically had the highest ranking influence on keywords. You can only get about one or two in there because you don't want a keyword stuff. Then in your description, bullet points, all those things as well. Make sure it's in your listing. And if it's in description and key features, repeated just a couple times, make sure it's readable and flows naturally. Once you've made sure it's in there, then track, get your baseline. You know, it's not truly an experiment if you didn't really record ahead of time. Am I running an experiment? Otherwise, we use the word experiment like when we just tried something and failed, but we don't know what we learned. So get your baseline, see what your rankings were before you try something. Use Helium 10's keyword tracker. And then go into growth opportunities. Go into pick that listing. Get to that middle widget that says product type. Make sure you record which one you are right now. I've used this example in the past with you, Carrie, I believe, but one case study we did was involving a client who was in herbal supplements. Their product type, it was an herbal supplement, and their product type was actually an herbal supplement. And so the product type was one-to-one exact match. It was like, you would assume this is the best product type to be in. But we weren't indexing for them no matter what we did for probably 10 to 15 major keywords that we knew they should get. And so we went to that widget, you pick, I think it's report an issue. So it doesn't say switch product type or anything. You have to click the link that says report an issue, and it'll give you usually 4 to 5 choices of other product types you think it is. Basically what it's doing is it's creating a support ticket for you, and you can submit that request of change. It's not a guarantee that it'll happen, but persistence pays off. And we recommend making requesting that change. And once you've been informed that change has happened, then watch. For us, what we saw was in that product, all the keywords we needed, we're instantly indexing for and began ranking within the first couple of pages of results. And so that was kind of the beginning of the journey. Now that's a kind of general standard practice for us and making sure we're in the right product type as well.
All right. That's really good. Yeah, that's a really good strategy. I've used your example many times, and because people ask me about that a lot. And usually when they get in the right product type, they start to see a lot more traction. So thanks for sharing that. And I want to get into advertising because we haven't talked a lot about PPC on Walmart on our podcast here for Walmart. And I think a lot of people have questions about it. And so I wanted to just get kind of your, you know, I know you have some basic strategies or just thoughts about PPC, and then also some new things that are coming that you think people should take advantage of. And then once we're done with that, we'll get into some questions from the audience. So
by way of really brief recap, for those that have been around the Walmart space, I've heard of it over the past several years. A lot of people were shy about getting into Walmart PPC in the earlier days because it used to be a first bid auction, which meant fundamentally different than how you would be used to utilizing Amazon. Whatever you bid is what you paid. So people were just blowing through their entire budget because they were trying to figure out if they could get a keyword to rank. And they thought, if I just spend more, I'll get placement. But in those cases, they were bidding $4 a click and they were winning position 40. And they were getting the click and they were spending $4 for a click on position 40. So good news is shift to second bid auction. That's been around for quite a bit now. But really what you're talking about when we're talking about PPC is fundamentally you've got sponsored product, which is broken down into two types of campaigns, auto and manual. You've got search and grid placement. You've got item carousels that you can get in search results. You can get item carousels on product detail pages, as well as next to the buy box placement. You've got on the manual campaigns, you've got exact match, phrase match, and broad match. And then auto campaign is what it sounds like. You're letting the algorithm do its thing. And you've got some placement modifiers. You can do modifiers for app, desktop, and mobile is some other ways you can kind of tweak things. The big thing to know still with Walmart PPC is it's heavily influenced by algorithms' determination of, are you relevant for those keywords? And so that has a, I mean, that's common practice in most ad retail media platforms, but it's a heavy influencer on Walmart. So you do need to approach it from an organic signal, sales signals, as well as PPC when you're trying to rank through PPC. You just can't spend your way to the top. You need to be in striking distance. The top 256 organic ranking results qualify for placement in Search and Grid, but you're ultimately trying to outperform whoever's in position at least 40 or at least position 30. And so it's usually a hand in glove kind of operation of how are you going to drive signals to the platform for purchase intent, showing that relevancy, and then continue to increase your PPC so that you're stair-stepping your way up to ideally somewhere in those first four positions or somewhere on that page one.
How do you get to those 256? Like if you're at spot 300, how do you get down to that spot?
Yeah, it depends. It's really specific on the categories. You know, the one other element when we're talking about keywords and search volumes on Walmart is there's not as many long tail keywords. The keywords just don't go as long. So you're going to see a significant drop off on volumes after some of the major keywords in a lot of categories. Maybe long tails around 2 to 3 keywords long are going to start dropping off significantly. As kind of a frame of reference, we would say if you can find keywords up over, if you're finding 10 keywords in your category that are relevant to you up over 7,000 in search volume, that's pretty good. There's ones that are way bigger, but identifying those to go for. To get in the top 256, you may pretty quickly already appear there. I would say pick your maybe not the biggest keyword to put in your title right away, but maybe that second tier keyword to put it in your title and some other places, and then plan on changing it over time as you grow. But some ways to drive traffic, you know, whether a lot of sellers already have, whether it's influencer traffic, whether it's Google Ads traffic, whatever else. If you already have a traffic funnel that's leaning to D2C or anywhere else, consider splitting a little bit of that traffic over for a period of time to Walmart at least, and you'll be rewarded. A lot of the signals of external traffic are rewarded heavily on Walmart. Behaviors like certainly purchase, but even behaviors like add to cart, purchase, any of those elements are signals that register with the algorithm and help sending signals of relevancy to get you in that top 256. The biggest one being someone searches, finds your products and purchases. So anything you can do to do that is a big help to get that going.
All right, that's very interesting. And then also you've mentioned conquesting as something everyone should be doing. Could you just explain what that is on Walmart and how people can start utilizing this?
Historically, you could not do brand conquesting on Walmart. You can't, obviously you can't put trademark terms in your listings. That's just copyright issues. But in advertising, until just very recently, you haven't even been able to brand conquest, really. There's kind of some ways around that, but now you can, is kind of the headline. So what we'd recommend is for those brands that are starting to show some relevancy or do things, and there are heavily branded search terms on Walmart. We've noticed Walmart leans typically more in a lot of categories towards branded search terms with high volume. So this has been untapped opportunity for a lot of brands, unless you're running an auto campaign to get you get buy box placement, just under their buy box on their PDP. So now you can actually set up a manual search, a manual campaign, and you have to use exact match keywords. And you can put in every variation of that brand name in there. And you can win. You can't win position 1 or 2 with that brand, but you can get beyond position 2 in most cases, you're eligible to actually show up in grid for their terms. And so that's one that most brands that have not been playing defense as much may still be asleep on right now. So it's a good opportunity, at least for now, until some of those brands start allocating defensive budget in that way. Those brands will be, again, because of relevancy and how it impacts how much you have to pay to win versus someone else that's more relevant. Brands are going to effectively get a discount for defending themselves because they're the most relevant one. So they're going to have to pay less than you to defend. But if they're not really bidding on it at all, this is a great opportunity.
I think that's really exciting because I haven't actually done that strategy at all yet. So I'm going to definitely get on that today and see what I can find. Because I have found so many branded search terms that I think would be really great to target in the past, but I wasn't able to. So that's really good. Okay, so let's go ahead and get into questions from the audience. So I'm going to start with this question here. It says, I have two questions. So what type of keywords are better for sponsored and manual campaigns? And I guess that's one.
I would kind of say what I said earlier probably is it depends on what stage of the life cycle you're in on Walmart. So if you're trying to build relevancy and it's a new product without much sales history yet, I would probably recommend starting with exact and maybe phrase in a manual campaign of those kind of second tier keywords. Go after the longer tail, build the relevancy there. Every conversion is going to help with relevancy of other keywords in your listings. So begin and stair step up. Another great strategy is at the same time, you might want to, often we'll wait a little bit to do auto campaigns or maybe do it also at the same time that we're starting some manuals, but with a low spend threshold so it doesn't go crazy and pick irrelevant keywords. But the goal would also be using automatic keyword campaigns, our automatic campaigns to harvest the performing keywords into your manual and put those into exact match. And then the last tip I would give is using the bid modifiers in manual campaigns to really kind of take over if you have auto campaigns as well. Manual campaigns are going to perform really well in search grid. And so you want your manual campaigns really doing the work for those high volume keywords in your grid versus maybe your auto. So that'd be a few of the tips I'd give you.
Let's go to the next one. It says, I heard you say that more 1P sellers from Walmart might be moving to 3P. Is that good or bad for other sellers?
I certainly thought it. I don't recall saying it, but I made up. So the Walmart basically is leveraging the third party marketplace for a lot of reasons. One of those is historically with 1P brands, meaning brands that Walmart has entered into a contract relationship with where they're owning inventory and setting the retail price of those things. One of the ways that if Walmart wanted to test out more of the assortment with a brand, develop a meaningful relationship would be they would select a small subset of the products, get them to in-store and distribute or online, and Walmart would manage everything. And then they used to tell brands that they would do another program called DSV. I won't go into all of it, but it was still an owned relationship. What we've seen is a shift more towards merchants, buyers, telling brands to put the remainder of their catalog on the third-party marketplace now that it's become more mature. Is it good or bad for sellers? On one hand, good in that as you have more recognizable established brands continue to increase their assortment on the marketplace, that's bringing more shoppers, more eyeballs to the marketplace. And so that's good for everybody. Bad, meaning more competitive. So advertising on keywords, certainly retail media ad spend we've seen increase year over year as Walmart grows the program. That's the natural life cycle of any platform. So it will certainly get more competitive. Margins may decrease over time. If you maybe have had your business model has been drop shipping and just trying to find those places where 1P brands there's gaps where 1P brands aren't really owning the marketplace. I still think there's a lot of opportunity there on the third party marketplace, but they're starting to catch wind of it on Walmart as well. So there's challenges there. Bit of both. But I think there's plenty of opportunity as Walmart's marketplace continues to grow. I don't think we need to be worried right now about are you getting squeezed out of any opportunity? This is still really early stages on Walmart's marketplace.
Yeah, I agree. There's still tons of opportunity. The next thing is there a way to get your products from WFS or Walmart probably into in-store? Or do you have to apply or be invited to have your products in Walmart stores? And I think this is a good question because it seems like with Open Call, it's just US products, but you know, is there a way for products that are made in other countries? You know, if you can expand on just that whole process, I think a lot of people are curious about this.
Yeah, so the one you mentioned, Open Call, which is for US manufacturers. And so there's been different times where I think 2 years ago, 2 to 3 years ago, they gave first bite at the apple to Walmart marketplace sellers. So they got to apply first and got opportunity. But outside of that opportunity, there is, if you're growing an account, if you're seeing sales and showing volume, showing growth, some of the stepping stones would be identifying if you could get an account manager or a category, a strategic account manager to work with on your account, identifying category manager, somebody else to begin discussions with. That starts with usually getting opportunities turned on and growth opportunities, whether that's seasonal promotions, whether that's flash picks, other elements. But as you continue to invest and show performance there, Walmart's team, their brick and mortar team and their marketplace team are basically one team. A lot of buyers and merchants will look across their whole category, even on the third-party marketplace, as they're evaluating opportunity. And so, those conversations could happen, and you could ask for an introduction. We've had clients that have just, category manager, somebody else has reached out and said, "Would you be interested in talking with a merchant about potential opportunity for in-store?" So, there's a lot of pathways. I don't think there's a defined. Walmart's probably not going to lay out for you. Here's how every marketplace seller can contact a merchant. But continue to invest in sales and growth on Walmart Marketplace. And those conversations certainly can happen.
Yeah, that's exactly what I always hear from Walmart directly. They say to, prove it on the marketplace, basically. All right, next. This is a good question. Any insights on the new SEM feature? Will that feature help ranking or index on keywords used as a GG search? Maybe Google search?
We've had a few that we've tested out. SEM verdict is still out right now in the early stages. Any kind of early testing, as far as depending on the goal, if the goal was measured by, did we see direct conversion at a higher ROAS than you would for sponsored products, which is lower in the ads funnel, more towards conversion anyway, than earlier consideration steps in the funnel. It's a lower conversion at this point, but there are potential advantages. I'm still waiting to clarify this element. I believe it's true, but again, because we haven't worked with a lot of resellers or people that are competing with others for their own buy box. I did hear in a recent webinar, and I haven't been able to go back and fact check again, by one of the product developers for SEM that one of the impacts of SEM is that you could run SEM even when you're not presently in the buy box, and you could drive traffic to your instance to get the sale. So for those who are struggling to win buy box, that may be a pathway to getting more sales and conversions by, ads aren't going to serve on marketplace when you don't have buy box. But if you're running SEM, it sounded like, and again, I try and fact check everything before I say it. And I heard it said once, and I want to make sure I heard it specifically, but that definitely perked me up and I need to go back and verify. But I believe what was communicated was you can run SEM through Walmart when you're not in the buy box and direct to your instance of you owning the buy box when traffic gets there. So that's one opportunity.
I've only been selling on Amazon since October. I have 9 reviews and 1 seller feedback. Is this enough to apply to sell on Walmart?
The exact criteria aren't shared publicly as to what is in that decision factor. There's a lot of factors. I think that the safest thing to say is what Walmart's looking for is that you have established yourself as a company that shows that you're making good products, strong history of shopper satisfaction, so customer support, and that you're a legitimate company looking to do business. The other factors they're looking for are your products a meaningful addition to the marketplace? So are you adding products to the marketplace that make sense to them? That's a really broad filter and subjective, maybe. So I can't tell you what that looks like. If you have 9 reviews, maybe on one product, and it hasn't been as long, I'd probably have a lot more questions as to why you want to jump to Walmart at the moment. Maybe you see the opportunity, and that might be the primary marketplace that you want to pivot to. Those are my initial thoughts. Yeah. It'd be hard to answer further without knowing more context. Carrie, I don't know if you have anything else.
They said something too about that they have one product with multiple variations. And I actually have seen other sellers that have one product with multiple variations get on there as well, because it's, you know, kind of a new kind of interesting product or really something that would work well on Walmart. So it is really dependent on that. And I've seen some people get on very easily having not sold for very long, and then others have a harder time. So it is kind of interesting how it's a little bit subjective on there, but definitely want to be established, make sure all of your stuff is matching. That's the biggest thing. Your address needs to match and everything needs to be, you know, tight on your application. But yeah, anything else that you want to add?
Yeah, no, sorry for stepping on you there. Yeah, no, that's basically what I was going to say too. If you get an initial reject, don't assume that is because a human looked at your application and determined you were not a fit. A lot of the rejections can happen because the bot has looked at maybe your information has did not match between what you submitted and what maybe is included in your business documentation. To illustrate the point is, we talked about 1P brands coming over to the 3P marketplace at the request of merchants. We still get 1P brands that get rejected when they've applied on their own to the 3P marketplace after they've been through even more rigorous vetting, because they're in a 1P relationship already. So the bots may trip on it, and it's worth reaching back out to try and appeal if you need. Even if you get the message of there is no appeal, there are usually ways to find out.
And I'm going to just take one last question. We've had a lot of amazing questions. We're kind of running out of time here. So this one is, what bidding strategies have you found most effective for optimizing Walmart PPC campaigns, and why?
Big question.
That's a hard one to just answer.
We could do a whole nother episode on this one. Bidding strategy you found most effective for optimizing PPC campaigns. So depends again, what your goal, what do you mean by optimizing? Do you mean optimizing for growth, which is going to be a lower TACOS, ACOS, low ROAS, potentially because you're looking to increase market share and it's a longer play? In that case, that sponsored brand, sponsored video. I didn't talk about sponsored video. If you're looking for what's the quick wins with a higher ROAS, things like, look in your category, look at the search terms. Are other brands already using sponsored video? There'll be one placement on mobile or on desktop for that search term on any page. And if you're not seeing those, that's low hanging fruit. I would go for a sponsored brand. You've got to be brand registered first. But once you're brand registered, you can create sponsored video ads. So that's one way I'd optimize. I would just make sure that to optimize a PPC campaign, I think the basics of making sure your listing is relevant and make sure your listing is optimized first. And so that'd be one major factor that we see just a lot of brands miss. They think they've got the bid strategy right, and that they've got the campaign architecture correct. But if you don't have high relevancy already for those keywords, you're not going to take a lot of ground. So in general, I would say you want to, in any given campaign, not oversaturate your ad groups and not oversaturate with keywords in each ad group. So maybe up to 5 keywords in an ad group and maybe 3 to 5 ad groups in a campaign, so that you can be tracking where that spend is really going and tweaking from there. But then I'd also say the biggest level ups we've seen is when you combine the PPC optimization with organic. So consider offsite traffic advertising as well in some way to blend and improve the performance of PPC. So PPC will get cheaper for you when your relevancy grows, and you'll be able to maintain it more. So that's often an efficient way to optimize a bit more. No other wise to that, but I'll end there for now.
Thank you again so much for joining us. I think this has been a really fantastic episode full of a lot of information for everyone. I'm sure everyone that's listening will want to go back and listen to this again. But thanks again for all of your expertise and sharing the strategies that, you know, those secretive strategies. and we really appreciate you. And we'll probably hope to have you on again another time soon.